Amen.
Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We talked about God's mercy. If you look at Psalm 136, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What a way to start out. You know, the Israelites have been through a tumultuous time. The Israelites have been through a time of imprisonment, if you will. And yet, when we see this, the psalmist is thinking back, and he's worshiping God. And he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And I think sometimes as we look at this, we forget how good God is and we forget to give Him thanks. Even in a time when times are tumultuous and troublesome, we need to give glory to God. We need to give thanks to God because He's good. He's good all the time. And why do we not give Him thanks? Why do we not seek His face? I think it comes down to relationship, and I've shared that with you many times before, that if we can't give God thanks and we can't glorify Him, it's because our relationship isn't right. Our heart isn't right. And so He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods." And if you look at that, the God is capital G, of gods is little g. Because there is only one God. There are many little g gods, but there's only one God. And He says, "Give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." Give thanks to the Lord of lords. So first, now He's separating this. And I want you to see how He is defining God and Lord. He's defining them. He's breaking them down. He says, "Give thanks to the God of gods," because you know what? They were making gods, false gods, gods out of silver and gold and wood and all kinds of other things they were making gods out of. And He says, you know what? They don't have eyes. They have eyes, but they don't have eyes that see. They have ears, but they don't have ears that hear. If you look in Psalm 135, 15 through 18, it says this: "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." And so when we see this, He says, the God of gods, and then, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." Give thanks to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer. Man, when we look at this, go to verse 4. "To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever." What are we doing? We're giving Him thanks for all of this. Verse 6 or 7. "To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Man, when we look at this and he starts unfolding this, we see the first point, and we covered this before, is he's the creator. And we've seen that. And then he's the redeemer, and we see that, verse 10 and 12. So 1 through 9, he's the creator. Verse 10 and 12, he talks about the redeemer and how he brings us out. And then that brings us to the shepherd. And that's what we're going to pick up today, is the shepherd. We look at verses 13 through 16. And it says, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. And verse 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. Verse 15, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness. When we see this, he brings us through. And guys, what we have to remember is, if we cry out to him, if we hold on to him, he will deliver us. He'll bring us through. He will take us in our time of distress and our time of pain and anguish and hurt and anxiety, and he'll bring us through. Why? Because that's who God is. And I think sometimes we forget who God really is. I think sometimes we come up short and we go, you know what? Where's God? God doesn't care about me. Listen, God says, all I want you to do is surrender to me, submit to me, give me my glory, acknowledge me, wait on me, call out to me, cry to me, and I'll carry you through. But for whatever reason, we think God doesn't love me. Oh, God's good for somebody else, but not for me. But I want you to see, listen, God, look what God did in Exodus 13, 21 through 22, what he did for the Israelites. And it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You know, what do we have? We don't have the pillar of the cloud and the fire. We don't have it. We have the Holy Spirit today. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't take away the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to us. He guides us. He directs us all through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants to bring us through the trials. He wants to bring us through the pain. He wants to bring us through the heartache. We're not exempt from it because we love Jesus. Because sometimes the heartache and the pain and the trouble, they come to do what? They come for one reason. To refine us. And sometimes they come to draw us closer to God, to refine us, to bring us back to the relationship. You know, it amazes me that what happens is when trouble, we don't cry out to God until trouble comes in our life. We don't cry out to God until we get so selfish and so self-consumed and we go, oh, what about me, God? And God goes, what about you? Well, what about me? God says, I want to carry you through. I want to deliver you. And he says, and here, he's the shepherd. And he brings us through because he's the shepherd. In John 10, 11 through 15, it says this. I want you to pay attention as I read this. I really want you to think about these words. Because you know, some of you right now, you're hurting too. You may not be in a foreign land and you may not be in a hospital bed, but I'm going to tell you, you're hurting. And life seems to be overwhelming you and your problems seem to be overwhelming you. What I want you to realize is Jesus says, listen, I'm going to bring you through it because I am your shepherd. Well, what does a shepherd look like? Look here in John 10, 11 through 15. He says, first off, I am the good shepherd. There's a difference between a shepherd, a good shepherd, and just a shepherd. And then he defines good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for us. He said, that's the good shepherd. But a hireling, This would be the bad shepherd. A hireling, somebody who is hired because they don't have any personal investment in your life. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and then leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. See, Jesus says, I'm not going anywhere. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Do you know why? Because I have an investment in you. Because I love you. I died for you. I am your shepherd, and I am your good shepherd. I have an investment in you. Therefore, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You are mine. I own you. I won't leave you to the wolves. I won't leave you to be scattered. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I what? I know my sheep. He says, I know you. You know what? When you know somebody, that's a personal level, isn't it? He doesn't say, I know of you. He says, I know you. Why does he know you? He created you. He bought you. He paid for you. He died for you. He says, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. His sheep knows him. My question is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him on a personal level, or do you just know of him? He says that his own knows him. Verse 15, as the Father knows me. Now let's just stop right there for a second. How does the Father know the Son? Personally? Intimately? The Father knows the Son. And he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for you. Because that's who the sheep are, is us. Man, he says, I want to bring you through it. Not because it's a job, but because it's a passion. Not because it's the right thing, but it's because I love you. And I have this desire for you. And I'll never leave you. I'll carry you through whatever it is that you have. For whatever reason, my ear doesn't work today. It just refuses to hold on. Then that brings us to the conqueror. The conqueror. He brings us in. He brings us in. And that's what he did with Israel. If we look in 17 through 22. To him who struck down great kings, verse 18, and slew famous kings, 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites, 20, and Og, king of the Bashan, and 21, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. So what we see is that he's the conqueror, and he brings us in. He took Israel, and the Israelites who were without a home, without a land, and he gave them a home. He gave them a land. Guys, there's some of you who feel like you're without a home. You just kind of walk around in a fog or in a daze. And he says, you know what? I'll bring you in. I'll give you that security. I'll take away all of your struggles. And you go, well, is he going to solve all my problems? No. But what he will do is he'll take away the troubles in your heart, because you'll give them to him. And you'll trust him. And you'll know he's the deliverer, that he's the conqueror. Colossians 1, 13 through 14 says this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He's the conqueror. Listen, he conquered Satan. He conquered death. He conquered hell to give it to us, the victory. Look here in Romans 3, 24 through 26. Romans 3, 24 through 26. Which picks up after Colossians, if you will, in a sense. It just kind of explains it more. Romans 3, 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is, we being justified freely by his grace. That word freely means you paid nothing for it. That word freely means it was a gift and it was given to you and I, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it. But he says, being justified freely. Why? By his grace, through what? The redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Look here in 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation, a payment, if you will, by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Why? To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I'm challenging you guys today to look at your faith. I'm challenging you to look at your relationship. Is he bringing you in? Is he the conqueror in your life? Or is it all about you? Are you stuck with yourself and your problems? Are you stuck with the woe is me mentality? Are you hung up on yourself because you can't get over yourself? I mean, I'm looking here at Jesus, and I'm looking at what he did, and I'm looking how he says, listen, you being justified freely, we are justified. We have power that we don't tap into. We have grace that we don't take advantage of. We have mercy. In other words, God says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Have you thought about that? And being so consumed with your problems and so consumed with your pride and so consumed with what you desire, have you realized just for a moment that Jesus said, I died on the cross so that you don't get what you deserve? Man, if we realized what we really deserved and what we're not getting, we might appreciate Jesus just that much more. We might appreciate what he has done. We might appreciate how he brings us in. We can walk by faith because Christ defeated Satan. But yet, for whatever reason, we choose to live in bondage. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You know that if you put a vulture in a cage, and you know they can fly, and they can fly really well. And you can put them in a cage, and you can take the top off. But because they're so used to the way that they do things, in other words, they need to run and then fly, that they'll never look up to see that they're actually free and can fly away. They'll stay imprisoned. And I think as human beings, we get so consumed with our problems that we forget the mercy that God extended to us. We forget the gift that God extended to us. We forget that we're justified. And so we put ourselves in this prison, and God says, if you just look up, you'll see you're free. If you just look up, you'll see you can get out. You don't have to stay in that. And instead, what do? I'm stuck. Who's going to get me out of here? Woe is me. Look at the walls. And God says, look up. Look up. It's open. And we just choose to stay in that prison because we don't look up. I'm telling you, man, Jesus defeated Satan. And if the Christian would start walking in faith, believing in the God that they believed for their soul, Christians wouldn't be the same. The prayer of the faith saves the sick. Do you have faith? Or are you so self-absorbed that you can't see the top's been gone and you can get out of the prison you're in? But it's only through Christ. I get so frustrated, and I guess I'm frustrated today because I think of those that are struggling today for their life. My uncle doesn't have but a couple months left. Had the joy and the privilege to go visit him last week and just to share with him and talk with him. And he went to church. He received Christ at my mother's funeral. When I preached my mom's funeral, and afterwards he came up to me because I asked for a show of hands. And I didn't see his hand up. And we were standing in the line afterwards, and my uncle walked by me, and he goes, "Listen, he whispered it in my ear. I just want you to know, I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus to be my Savior." So when I seen him this time, I said, "Uncle Johnny, you're going to die. We know that. Did you really mean the prayer when you asked Jesus to be your Savior?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah." I said, "You know, that means you're going to heaven when you pass." I said, "Are you curious what heaven's like?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me share with you what heaven is like. I want you to know where you're going." And so I opened up the Revelation chapter 21. And I shared with him what heaven looked like and how it was the streets of gold, clear as glass. The gates were of pearl, a single pearl. The walls were jasper and sapphire and onyx and just beautiful, beautiful things. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more night, because Jesus, we don't need the light of the sun and the moon and the stars, because Jesus is that light. And I shared all of this with him of what heaven was like. And he looked at me and he goes, "Wow, I didn't realize we'd get all of that." And I shared with him how much Jesus loved him. And I shared with him how eternity, listen, when you go to be with God, it's forever and ever and ever and ever, and you are forever, never to have sorrow and pain again. And he goes, "Wow." Then I come home, and I hear about my brother, John. It just broke my heart all over again. And I worry about Tim and Kathy going to a foreign land. And so this week's been pretty heavy for me, so you have to forgive me if I'm just kind of emotional today. Kind of feeling like a woman for a moment. That woke you up. But I think about that, guys. You know, when you look at death, even if it is through the eyes of one you love, man, you go through the pain too. And I think we need to be reminded of God's goodness. And it was funny because during my mom's funeral, it was the day before my mom's funeral, I sat down in the middle of the living room floor in my uncle's house and led my aunt to the Lord. And she passed away last year, my Uncle Johnny's wife. And when I shared heaven and all that with him, and I shared with him how I said, "Uncle Johnny, you don't need to fear death, because, man, when you take your last breath, the angels from heaven come and they take you to be with the Lord. And the heavens open up and there's a party there." And then he said this to me, "That explains it." And I go, "Explains what?" "Why Aunt Margaret had such a smile on her face when she died." God's good. And he got it. You know, she was died of liver cancer. And she was in a lot of pain. And yet, when she drew her last breath, she had a smile on her face. I'm telling you, this is the God that brings us in. This is the God. This is our Redeemer. This is our Savior who loves us so much. If we'll just let go of the things of the world and embrace Him, we would experience it and know it. We would know it. Then that brings us to our last point. The Deliverer. He brings us back. Some of you need to be brought back. Some of you are walking out there by yourself. And he says, "Look, I'll bring you back. Look here in verse 23 through 25 of Psalm 136. Who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. That food is provisions. He supplies our every need. And this is what he's talking about. He is the deliverer. He brings us back. And sometimes we get so consumed with ourselves that we forget the Lord until he allows something to come in our life that just kind of consumes us for a moment. And then all of a sudden we're reminded of God and how good he is. Why is it that it takes trouble to be reminded of God? Why is it that it takes heartache for us to stop and realize that we're but dust? Not but dust, but dust. Why is that? I didn't go there, you did. Isaiah 44:22. When we look at this verse, I want you to see that he's our deliverer and that he brings us back. And he supplies our every need. 44:22. Look what he says. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. He says, listen, I've covered your sin. I've blotted it out like it doesn't exist. I've blotted it out. I've blotted out your sin. Now, we don't like to use the word sin, but we have to look at it. Because he says, I have blotted out your transgression. And like a cloud, your sins. Then he says this. And guys, I think some of you need to get a hold of this. I think some of you need to be reminded of this. What does he say here? Do what? Return to me, for I have what? I've cleansed you. I've made you whole. I've redeemed you. Return to me. Not because you're perfect. Not because you're doing right. Not because you're doing wrong. Not because you have good intentions or ill intentions. Not because everything in your life is right. Your thoughts aren't right. Your decisions aren't right. He says, listen, look what I've done. I've blotted out your transgressions, your sins. I've covered them. How? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I have redeemed you. I have made you fit to come into my heaven. I have made you fit to come into my presence. Not because of anything you did, but because of everything that Christ did. Not because we're good, not because we've earned it, not because we paid for it, not because we made right decisions, but because I love you. And there's no other reason. It was a free gift. Redemption. I've redeemed you. Come to me, God says. You don't see anywhere in here because of you, but you see everything in here because of Jesus Christ. She even got it. Guys, I'm telling you, God brings us back. He is our deliverer. And then verse 26 in Psalm 136, he ends it. He ends it just like he started it. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Give thanks to the God of heaven. You notice how when he ends it very clearly on what God we're to give thanks to. To the God of heaven. If you're here today and you don't know the God of heaven, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're going to struggle, and you're going to have anxiety, and you're going to make poor decisions. You don't have a way out. You're on your own. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ, you have a deliverer, a conqueror, a shepherd, a redeemer. You have your creator as your personal God. And you say, well, you know what? How in the world do I have the shepherd and the redeemer and the creator and the conqueror and the deliverer on my side? Well, it's really easy. First off, you have to believe. Isn't it an amazing thing? All you got to do is believe. You just have to believe. You don't have to have anything special, but you have to believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ conquered death and hell and is at the right hand of the Father today. If you believe that, you're there. You're there. And you say, well, you know, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Maybe that's your heart today. I want Him to be my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my Conqueror. I want Him to be my Shepherd, my Great High Priest. I didn't talk about that, but I did last week. Say, I want that. Well, it's real easy. If that's your desire, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Just pray after me. Listen, the words don't save you. The words are just kind of like the roadmap to guide you through the process. It's your belief that saves you. And so you pray this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, if you want the Redeemer, Jesus is the only way. So you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need redeemed. I need a Savior. And today, right now, Jesus, I asked you to come into my life. I asked you to save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, today I give you my life. Today I am yours. Amen.